about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. We had a request from a listener who wanted to know about parenting adult children.
And Art, what's the short answer?
Don't.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, parenting adult children.
Parents really do set expectations that their kids, in one way or another, react against their entire lives. There is a period of time where that makes a lot of sense to do, where having a set of expectations about what you hope for and what you dream of for your children can be a valuable thing for helping your children to think a little bit about the kinds of goals that they might want to pursue. And as long as you don't confuse your hopes and dreams for them for their actual goals, that can actually be, I think, a very positive thing for kids. The problem is that no matter what you as a parent think you're doing, your children still perceive the value statements that you make in ways that reflect their beliefs about what you want for them. And that is an endless source of tension between parents and adult children.
Well, I mean, even the idea of parenting adult children is a little odd construction when you think about it, because I think the role of parents changes over a child's life, right? I mean, there are innumerable decisions that parents of young children make for their children, as it should be. I mean, we don't allow our children to decide whether they'd really like to go to the dentist or not, or whether they want to get vaccinated or whatever the thing is. We just decide for them. But as children get older, we would like to think that they become more independent and able to make decisions on their own. But I think how parent-child relationships work in the child's young adulthood is in large measure determined on what the relationship has been like while the child was living at home. There's a misperception that many parents hold that if I always choose wisely for my child, then when my child is out on her own or out on his own, he will continue to choose as I have chosen for him. When actually what you're not recognizing is the child is having no practice in choosing, right? Because you're always choosing because you want to make sure the wrong decision doesn't get made. So you're, by God, are going to make the right decision, and that's what we're going to do. But once you get to a point where a child is at an age where she or he can control many of the contingencies in her experience, and you don't control them anymore, and the relationship you've established is I decide and then you follow my prescriptions, well, now something's got to change. And if the relationship during childhood was such that you have been in control of most everything and the child has had no practice making decisions about her own life or his own life, well, then there's inevitably going to be some kind of conflict because the change in the relationship is not going to happen smoothly.
The degree to which you are obligated to your parents as an adult depends a lot on the relationship that you construct.
Sure.
And I think that often what happens is that relationship goes unanalyzed. So you grow up, you know, a child goes off, goes to college, gets a job, and doesn't really reevaluate the nature of the relationship that they have with their parents. And I don't necessarily mean that parents and kids have to sit down and hash this out. So now we're going to have a contract. This is what the relationship looks like from here on out. But there are other ways of negotiating things with people through the nature of the conversation, through the statements that you choose to accept at face value versus to reorient in discussions. And I think that ultimately, when parents are able to look at their adult children and essentially say, I look forward to seeing what you're doing and to being a part of celebrating the good times and helping with the bad times in your life, that you've reached a point at which you are effectively being the parent of an adult child. And of course, you're available to share whatever experience and wisdom you may have at the point where they're interested in receiving it.
Yeah.
But the fundamental difference is you can't push it on anybody.
All of us parents overestimate the influence we have on our children, especially when they reach even adolescence. The most important influence is are their peers. And that becomes even more so the older they become. So now we have somebody, first of all, we're misperceiving how much we're influencing them when they're in their adolescence. And then they leave home, and we might even still imagine what our influence can be, which in fact, it hasn't been for the past 10 years. And now we're thinking we're going to be influencing them in a way that we really aren't.
And I think that what parents of adult children have the greatest ability to influence is their relationship with their adult children.
Beautifully said.
And so in many ways, it's important to engage in activities that are going to create positive memories about that relationship. Because in particular, the death of a parent is a very profound experience for anyone who's gone through it. And one of the things that happens is it creates a closing of this very important relationship. And there's a tremendous amount of joy that can go in that, or regret. And to the extent that you as a parent can engage in discussions and activities and events with your kids that will create as positive a relationship as possible, you are doing a tremendous service to your children, because at the point where you're no longer there, you have saved them tremendous heartache.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about rules and rule breaking with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or on SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.